You got a lot of sausages, certain things that just come to their head and...
And it chips it away again!
Toby Flood!
God's sake! He pulled my scrub cap off and he squirted water in my face and you're not allowed to do that!
Shut it off! Shut the confidence up!
What a joker!
Hello and welcome to the Waist High Rugby Podcast, the podcast that people are asking for and you are going to get. Today, we do not have a guest, although we have the return of Tom. So essentially, it's a guest, knowing how rarely he appears on this podcast these days. He's too busy up north. And we're joined by Adam and maybe Jack, if he can get out of the pub in time. So yeah, Adam, how are you?
Yeah, good. A little bit tired. A lot of rugby over the last 3 days. But yeah, it's excited to be back in the seat with Tom, just in the top corner of my screen with his beautiful bald head and his lovely smile. Yeah, so excited for this pod, actually. It's nice.
Nice. Tom, I'm not going to ask you how you are, but I'm just going to ask what's on your mind.
What's on my mind? There's a lot on my mind, Ed. There's always a lot on my mind. Yeah, I don't even know where to start on that. So I'll throw it back to you.
All right. Let's rephrase it. Tom, you haven't been on for a while. What's been going on with you?
Work, football. Yeah, basically that, really. See, it sounds very little when I say it out loud, but that's basically my life now, work and football. We've just got a new coach in at football who takes it very seriously.
No, but Tom, I had one little break from the pod and obviously was sitting in the car and listening to it and trying to butt in and stuff. What's it been like for you listening to all these pods and not being a part of it? Everyone I've been speaking to has been, when's Tom coming back? What's happened to Tom? What's happened to Tom?
Tom hasn't listened to shit.
I won't lie. I listened to the pod to see if you're going to name me or not.
That's typical. Typical footballer response.
Now, I'll be honest. I've really enjoyed the last two pods. I thought, you can have to excuse me because I'm terrible with names. But the Sevens coach, thought he was interesting.
Owen.
However, whether I would suit playing for him, I'm not sure because... I don't think our personalities would mesh. However, it is what it is. I've never really messed with coaches in general. I'm coachable if you tell me what skill to learn. I'm not coachable if you tell me what language to speak.
Well, just before you go any further, I was in Brighton and I spoke to Owen, and Owen was gutted that you weren't on because he said he was going to, in his words, rip you another one. Because he said he wanted to have a bit of an argument with you. Why do you think that might have been, Tom?
Well, when I listened to his pod, I thought he was very much about the culture and team. And I've always been someone who hates being forced into a team environment. I always believe that it's individuals. So I personally, for me, I don't like wearing the same kit as everyone else in training. So at football now, we all have to wear the same training kit. Just irritates me. Why can't I just wear clothes I want to wear? Why do I have to turn up in the same shirt as everyone else and spend my life working out when to wash that shirt, to wear it, to training? Just let me train. Little things like that irritate me. So I feel like being forced to be part of a culture irritates me. I just naturally don't enjoy it.
Why do you play so many team sports, Tom?
Because I'm good at them. My worth on a team is because I'm good. It's not because I fit the culture. It's just a fundamental thing about me. I have no interest in fitting a culture. I have interest in being good at something. So all my value to a team is from being good. It's not from wearing the same T-shirt as everyone else or fitting in or anything like that. I've never had any interest in being someone who fits in. So I don't think he's a bad coach or anything like that. I just think I just wouldn't enjoy that environment of being forced to fit in. And I think people who think like me find it very irritating, the whole we're a team, so then you have to get on with everyone. I don't get on with everyone. I'm never going to be everyone's friend. So I have no interest in being everyone's friend, but I can respect if you're good or not. I've played football with many people I don't like, but I've known they're good and I want them to start because they're good. So I would never pick a team based on who's my friend and who fits into a culture. Like that for me is completely, that's a bizarre thought. Like, because for me, it's enough to know that you want to win the game, I want to win the game, then that's enough. That's all I need as a player.
But with rugby though, because there's so many different cogs, it's like one of my coaches when we were an early age used to say to me that the rugby team is like a cogs in a machine. If one cog isn't working, then the whole machine doesn't work. So I think the culture is like something that oils the cogs. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's something where everyone's going in the right direction, because attitude is a huge thing when it comes to sport. Your attitude towards it, in terms of like, if you be an individual in rugby, it might be at the detriment of the team. So it's like everyone's got to kind of be going in the same direction, because like you can't have a Messi in rugby who's just going to change a game. You know, everyone's got to do their own individual thing. And I think a coach's way of doing that to start with is right. I've got to get the buy-in from them. So it's, do you know, would you agree or?
No.
No. Okay.
Good. But I think like I see it fundamentally differently to you. Yeah. So for me, like we've actually had this, like I've had this discussion with the football team I've joined now. We've got a brilliant young player. He's really, really good, but he can lose his head and then he can be completely useless. And everyone's solution is he's got to change his attitude and then he can be part of the team and be good. My solution is we have unlimited subs. Start him. If he loses his head, take him off. Because if he plays well, he's an absolute asset for the team. If he plays badly, just take him off then. We have unlimited subs. What's the risk? Like, I want him to start and I want him to play well because that's best for the team. That gives us the best chance of winning that game. If he loses his head, that's bad for him. He gets punished by being taken off. However, to not start him damages my chance of winning the game.
That seems very circumstantial though, because...
But that's like, in a nutshell, my attitude towards it is like, it's my attitude. Like, I understand that, like, maybe for other players that would demotivate them, maybe it wouldn't. But for me, it's like, give me the best chance to win the game. Put the players on the pitch that give me the best chance of winning the game. I don't care at all whether the attitude is good, bad, whether they train well, whether they train badly. If you believe those 15 players, like rugby, those 15 players are the absolute best chance you ever win in the game, put them on. They're the guys I want to play with. Not the guys that are the nicest guys or the guys that have the best culture or the guys that do the extras. If there's a guy doing extras for 2 hours, but he's not as talented as this guy who turns up to training, chucks the ball twice, goes home, doesn't give a crap about training, but he's still better than the guy doing everything. I want the guy who doesn't give a crap to start with me, not the guy who's doing extras and stuff. If that makes sense, like...
I just think it further confirms that, Tom, you're a very individual person and you have a very individual thought process about it, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to get stuck down in this rabbit hole of mentality and attitude for the next 1 hour, if you don't mind, guys.
Nah. But just quickly, if I can just say something. For me, personally, it's enough to know you want to win the game. I think like other players want to know much more about the team and the culture, and that means a lot more to them. For me, I'm happy playing with someone who I know is going to do everything to try and win a game.
Okay, cool,
brilliant.
That's it. That's so simple for me.
I think we can all agree on that bit, right? So that's it. End of pod. We've agreed. Tom, you mentioned it there quickly, and Adam, obviously, I want to get into your pre-season and stuff, or what you've been doing down in Stavanger. You're looking a lot slimmer these days, I must say. But Tom, quickly, you did say you've got a new coach in at your football club, and beforehand you mentioned you've got a trip coming up. What's going on?
So tomorrow I'm going to Turkey to go on a football camp or training thing for a week where we're going to train twice a day, and at the end of it we're going to play a team that is a lot better than us, and teams that are slightly better than us beat us 10-4. So I'm absolutely dreading it.
Well, and are they, like, how seriously are they taking this camp then to Turkey?
Really seriously. I'm not allowed to drink. I've got to sign a contract saying that I'm going to be alcohol free in a place where beer is going to be really, really cheap. Oh, it's going to be tough.
Is that why you're drinking now? Are you trying to get it all like?
Oh yeah. I'm trying to get drunk enough so that I've got like enough blood alcohol level for the next like week. I'm going to have to do all the things I really hate, like forced team building. Like the same kit. Oh, like so much stuff that's just completely anti who I am. Fitting into a team.
Honestly, at some point, some of you will find a way to go out.
But I don't think we will. I think a lot of them, like, they really, like, football culture is completely different to rugby culture, like, team-wise.
But why are you taking it so seriously? You're playing, like, don't you play in, like, the 12th division of Norwegian football or something?
We play in the lowest division possible for us. So it's the fifth division. But if we played in Oslo, we wouldn't be in the fifth division for people who understand like football. We'd probably be eighth division. It's just fifth division because it's the lowest possible here.
So why are they playing it so seriously when essentially you're what is like a Sunday pub team in England?
Because I feel like Norwegians take their sport differently. I think there's like they have a sense of pride. It's not English culture when they do sport because they don't really mix alcohol and sport. Like if you other like Norwegian sports teams, they will drink for like their Christmas table or whatever, but it's much more serious and fitness and health and that kind of stuff. It's just completely culturally different football in Norway compared to rugby in Norway. Like we train seriously, we have proper coaches, our coaches are paid. I can't believe they're paid, but they are paid and they plan the sessions and it's serious. Like it's a proper.
I think Norwegians have a different approach to alcohol in general. Do you know what I mean? Like in England, like we have the pub culture where you can go for a couple of beers after work, but with Norwegians, it seems like they have two Cokes or 20 beers. There's no in between. They can't just have a relaxing drink. Do you know what I mean? They're either not drinking or they're getting smashed, you know? So I think that's a massive culture difference. Yeah.
Well, I would say enjoy Turkey, Tom, but it sounds like you won't, but try and make the most of it. And it'd be good to come back with a head of hair suit and that new beard.
Yeah, that's the real reason he's going. He's going to get his hair done, isn't he?
He's definitely going to get a hair transplant.
I won't lie, the lads have been killing me about the hair transplant in Turkey.
Do it.
Oh, please do it.
I can't, like, obviously I can't, well, I could read it out in Norwegian, but on the Spond group, we said we were going to Turkey and it was like, it's going to cost you like 4,000 kronas each. It's dead cheap. So it's like, it's going to cost you 4,000 kronas each. And then one of the lads piped up in the comment underneath, it's like, oh yeah, if we double it, lads, Tom can get his hair done.
Oh yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Coming back with new hair and new teeth and everything.
I responded by in training I dropped an elbow on the back of his head.
Oh dear. So how are you flying there? Because you're so far up north, do you have to kind of come through Oslo or what's the plan?
I think we're taking a plane.
Ah, okay, that's good to know.
I'm guessing that's out. Nah, well, if we're flying there, it's like there's not enough birds up here for it to like carry us. So I think we're going to have to take a plane with an engine and stuff like that. Yeah, how are we flying there? Fucking hell, Ed. Helicopters. Right. We're getting a helicopter each.
I don't know. Aren't you in like some tax haven up there where you're living now? Maybe there's like a private jet or something.
To be honest, I have absolutely no idea how we're getting there. I just know that someone's picking me up tomorrow about 2. And hopefully I'll be in Turkey at some point later on.
Prepared as always, Tom.
Yep.
Adam, how are things down in Stavanger? I know you guys are in pre-season. You've got sevens coming up and you've got your new kind of clubhouse open now.
Yeah, no, it's good. So Brian Burrow... which have got one in, they've got one in Bergen where they do all their after socials. So the guys there have now opened a bar in the centre of Stavanger, which we had an opening for a couple of weeks ago, which is really good. So we've got yeah, the top floor of it is our unofficial, well, official clubhouse. So we've got the whole floor, and we've hung up loads of photos of winning teams in the past and action shots. 85-inch screen. We get a deal on drinks and stuff, and somewhere where we can just call home. Really, it's class. It's a good little recruitment ground as well. We've already had a couple of new players come to training because the guy there is really eager to promote rugby. So so far so good. They only opened about a month ago, like I said, we've had two players already come through to training. So yeah, things good. So we should have a good social in there after the Stavanger Sevens, which is coming up on the 27th of April. So if anyone hasn't registered their teams yet, registration's open. It should be a really good day. We'll be on the grass pitch at Lassa, and then we'll have a big knees up in the new clubhouse. So hopefully anyone wants to come and see it, then get yourself down for the Sevens. Be really good.
Awesome. Yeah, I know we're about to sign up. We've got about 8 players at the moment, but we're thinking of maybe joining with Kristiansand and maybe some players from Sagene as well. We'll at least a few of us will be there for sure.
Well, there will be a players pool as well. So if there's anybody out there that listens who wants to have a go at rugby, then there will be teams that we can put together on the day.
Nice. Tom?
I have a question for Adam. So I really enjoyed the podcast with Tim last week, and there was a lot of talk about youth rugby and how to get players involved and what to do and all that kind of stuff. I was wondering, did you like learn anything, or is there anything that's inspired you from that podcast? So anything you like learned and thought, that's like a really good bit of advice that I'd like to like take forward, because I know you're really involved in getting like youngsters into rugby and Stavanger, and you're not really that bothered about what code it is. So.
Good question. I mean, I wouldn't say there was just from the chat. It was a really good pod. I was really impressed with his rugby CV and his attitude towards how he approaches the setup with the youth, and how he's identified that there's some kids in Norway already that would hold their own in England, which I thought was phenomenal. And having spoken to him and then having a bit of contact with some of his players who come down to Stavanger training, I can understand why they're progressing like they are, because he obviously knows what he's talking about. So I was just mega impressed with his approach and his attitude towards what he's supposed to be doing. You know, I know he's kind of like promoting anything with the oval ball, but I was quite impressed with the way he was saying, like, if we're going to practice something, when we practice it properly, down to the fact that we don't do drop goals on a restart and stuff like that. So training as you mean to go on. But I think rugby league's obviously growing really well. It's a good sport for them to get into, because obviously there's no scrums and that kind of thing. And I think it's I think they're doing some really good things there. I was just mega impressed with his approach. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was really, really interesting, actually, because I've coached like youth football, but I haven't coached like elite youth football. I've just coached like youth football for like kids that want to have fun. And there was actually a massive like overlap between what he was saying and what I was doing. So that sort of surprised me, like the focus on enjoying it and just development and just making sure kids are playing the sport they want to play. So I was kind of shocked over that, actually, because I always thought that if I was going to be a coach of elite football players, I would change a hell of a lot of what I did. So I thought that was really interesting, because it seemed quite, I don't know, aligned, even though obviously he's coaching much better athletes at a much higher level with much more like pressure.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing he said about that was like, it's just done faster and higher completion rates. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because it's like when I've been around any sort of professional players, they're all pretty much the same. It's just like you said, you're just around players that are either talented or very gifted, and all the stuff they do, like he was saying, like all the moves are the same. They just got different names and stuff, and they're just done at a different level. So the approach doesn't need to change, because the game is still the same. And if these kids are then going to go on to that level, then they need to be training similar to that so that they're used to it and they just perfect it over time. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Love it. And tell us about your kind of how your preseason's going at the moment. Are you guys training at the moment or what's going on?
Yeah. So, my training's going really well. I came back from Christmas and I was almost 106 kilos of mud after the Christmas break. I'd gone from 100 kilos to 106, but 100 relatively fit to 106 very unfit. And I looked in the mirror and I was just like, I've got to do something about this. And I'm sure you won't mind me saying, sorry, Tom, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I've got something to say here.
Yeah.
Right. Genuine question, because I've always been like thin. And like it's hard for me to put on weight because it's just my body type, right?
Yeah.
When you play rugby, how much does your weight matter to you actually? Like, do you become a worse rugby player if you're like 3 kilos heavier or 3 kilos lighter, or is it just like self worth that makes the difference? Because I can't quite understand why 3 kilos would make that much of it. Obviously, like 20 kilos, I can get it, but like, do you actually become a worse rugby player if you feel like you're a bit heavier than you should be, or a bit lighter than you should be, or like, what? How does it work? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the only reason why I mentioned about the weight is just because that's just a measurement. Do you know what I mean? I was 106, okay, but I didn't feel good. I was getting out of breath, like walking upstairs. My knees were hurting. People were making comments that I put weight on, and my mental health was suffering as a result. Do you know what I mean? And like, if I'm, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I've never actually been interested in the scales throughout my life. Really, I've never really been worried about it because as long as I'm feeling all right on the pitch and I'm feeling dangerous and stuff. But then I went to the first training session after Christmas and I was just like, I just didn't enjoy it. I couldn't get around the park. I was out of breath and I was just thinking, this is not right. And coupled with, you know, comments and looking in the mirror and just feeling bad about myself, I thought something's got to happen. I think it does make So like, I'm just using the weight thing as a gauge, really. You know what I mean? So like, I was massively out of shape. So I got a mate up in Ålesund, Johnny Woodfoot, who's actually now a Stavanger boy. He's been playing for us last season. Now, during the end of last season, he won't mind me saying, he put on a lot of weight and he was struggling to get around the park. And he was about 124 kilos, I think. And I've been watching him like from the end of last season, sort of November. And over Christmas, he'd lost about 20 kilos. And he'd been doing this training program. So I just sent him a text message and just said, like, oh, what have you been doing, mate? And he sent me his gym program and his diet program. And I thought, you know what, I know it's like cliche, new year, new me, but I thought, because people keep saying to me, oh, you're 38, or do you really want to be playing rugby? Do you think it's over and stuff like that? And it was kind of peeing me off a bit because I'm like, rugby is a big part of my identity and I don't really feel like I want to give it up. And the only thing that would stop me from doing that is something physical. And if I'm too heavy, I'm probably going to get an injury and then that will cut it short. So the gym program, which Johnny was doing, was a lot different to mine because obviously he's playing prop. So this is a lot strength based. But so I was thinking, I want to play in the back. So I need to get my ticker right. I need to get some power in my legs. I need to get running and stuff like that. So I started using his diet, which is very high protein, low carbs, eating 5 times a day, a few supplements involved and stuff like that. And then I started like listening to other podcasts. There's one called the Art of Manliness podcast, which talk about, you know, weight loss and diets and training and stuff like that. So I did a bit of research and I thought, you know what, I'm going to eat and train like an athlete. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not an athlete, but I'm going to eat and train and I'm just going to give it 4 weeks and see what happens. Because one thing I've never done is I've always been one of these people that's been like, I'll just train more. I'll just keep my diet. And then I realized when I actually had a diet written down for me, of like, you know, so I can hit my protein macros. And then I realized that, you know, I'm eating a bag of chips a night or I'm eating a couple of chocolate bars and stuff like that. And all of a sudden I'm, you know, 1,000 or 1,200 calories every day over my target, which, you know, and that's why I'd been putting the weight on. So I was just very strict for myself for the first sort of 4 weeks. And it actually makes life a bit easier because I go to the store and I'm like, right, I need my cottage cheese. I need my blueberries. I need my chicken. I need my tuna. And then I've got a shopping list there. It gets a bit boring, but if you've got in the back of your mind, like if you've got a why as to why you're doing it, it's like, right, this is going to make me feel good. I'm going to be better on the pitch. And you know, I was getting a few comments from some coaches that, you know, I'm not in the right shape and stuff like that, and that was kind of eating at me. So I thought, you know, I really want to give this a push and just do it for 4 to 6 weeks and see if it makes a difference. Got myself a gym partner, a guy called Michael Christensen from Stavanger, and because obviously I work a physical job, and coming back from work, I normally have a little bit of a nap because I'm knackered from work, and having that gym partner who's like, right, we're meeting at 8 o'clock in the gym, he just dragged me there and got there, and we're doing following the same gym program, and that's really helped as well. Sorry, Tom, do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I'm quite interested in this.
Yeah.
So what I want to know really is, if you were so what did you say you were, 106, that you felt like not good because you couldn't run around the pitch?
Yeah.
If you were 106 and could have run around the pitch, would it bother you that you were 106 kilos and looked how you looked? So I'm trying to work out whether it's the how you look and all that kind of stuff. Or is it like the fact you can't be physical how you want to be physical when you play sport? What is like the real driving factor between for you to like want to like cut down your weight, basically? Because,
well,
it's like topic today, isn't it? So
ultimately, I mean, it's from my environment, people around me telling me that, like, oh, you look like you've put weight on. That no matter how confident you are as a person and how outgoing you are, if someone, especially people that you consider or you care, anyone else says it, like if you said it to me, Tom, oh, you're fat, you know, you've done it before, it's water off a duck's back. But if your missus says it, or your coach says it, or one of your best mates says it, or you know, your teammates that you train week in, week out with say it, starts eating up at you, and it gets to you, and then you start looking in the mirror. And like when you're that big, you don't even want to look in the mirror. But I started looking in the mirror and I was like, I don't even recognize myself. Like, I took a photo on January the 2nd, and then I've taken a photo recently, and it's like totally different. So like now I'm down to sort of hovering between 97 and 98. So I've lost, you know, sort of around eight kilos ish since January the 2nd. But the pleasing thing is I'm actually lifting more weights than I've ever done. My Broncos is better than it was at the end of last season. You know, I feel like I go to work and I don't even feel tired when I come back from work. And, you know, I've just been to Brighton this weekend, and, you know, we played a full game against two different teams for 40 minutes against the Brighton club team and then Brighton Uni in the second half. And I felt like I seriously could have gone for another 40 to 60 minutes. And that for me is success. Not the fact that, oh, I've lost 8 kilos. It's the fact that I make a tackle and I can bounce back up, and I don't have to. Whereas before, I'd be like, right, I've just done a run, I want to try and keep away from the ball because I've only got a certain amount of runs in me. Do you know what I mean? So the only reason I'm talking about weight is because that's just a measurement. But the biggest measurement for me personally is the feeling, and that feeling of walking on a pitch, knowing if the ball, I want to get my hands on the ball. I'm physically able to do it now. Do you know what I mean? But the great thing about it is then people start noticing, because you've gone from sort of like, you know, 5 or 6, to sort of around an 8 or 9 performance level, and people are noticing it as a massive thing. So now people are giving me compliments, and now that spurred me on a bit. But the reason why I wanted to talk about this, and when I suggested this as a topic, it's not just to brag that, oh, look, I'm doing a fucking great job. It was because I was in such a bad place, and like I said, Johnny Woodfoot was in a very bad place as well, and he did it. And I kind of looked at him and thought, well, if he can do it, what's he doing, or what can I do? And if somebody who's listening to this now and they're getting into pre-season, who's been on the sofa, hasn't been doing much rugby, literally, it's not that difficult. You've just got to think. It's just about getting there and just doing the little bits. It's not going to happen in a week. It's not going to happen in 2 weeks. It's just about getting into the good routines, good behavioral patterns, and having a plan to stick to, and to just measure that. Do you know what I mean? Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I've got two things to say. One is what I find really interesting about saying, Adam, is that your motivation to lose weight was very much like internal, about how you felt about yourself. Mm. But then when you started losing it, you found all these other things that were positive. So like, you're better at rugby, you felt more energy, all that kind of stuff. And that's what spurred you on. So your motivation, from what you've said to me, sounds like it's changed over time, which is quite interesting. And the other thing I was going to say is that you reached out to someone So like you chatted with like Johnny Woodfoot, I think you said.
Yeah.
So like, would you be open to like other guys like reaching out to you and saying like, Adam, do you mind like a bit of help here? I'm feeling the same as you felt. Do you mind 100%, like, giving 100%, me some tips?
Yeah, 100%. What I did is because we with the national team we have a chat group and I just, you know, guys put on like, oh, what work we're doing. So we kind of like G each other on to like, this is, we set, coaches set us some challenges like, right, I want to see what your Bronco score is. I want to see what your 2 kilometer row score is and stuff like this. So I just put a message out there saying, guys, this is what I've been doing recently. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then Tora from Blindon actually contacted me. He was like, mate, what are you doing? Because I need to get my Broncos up. And I did a bit of research into, because obviously I know Broncos is, again, it's just a measurement thing. But I've always been really bad at Broncos, like, because it's just, I don't know, it just didn't suit me. And so I did some research and basically from this like pro peak performance coach, he was saying like, you know, your fitness is like a pyramid. You have to get the base and then you build on top of that. So what I'd been doing, instead of like going out and doing sprint training or doing Broncos, for the first 3 or 4 weeks, I was doing 3 runs a week on a treadmill. I got myself a new Fitbit so I could track my heartbeat, but I kept my heartbeat at 150 beats per minute for 30 minutes on the treadmill. And then it didn't feel that too, the first few, don't get me wrong, the first week or so was like, it was brutal. I was sweating my ass off and I was knackered. But then I realized that it started getting easier and when I was covering more ground when I was doing the running, it was getting easier and easier. And then I started, after 3 or 3.5 weeks, I then started doing some sprint training. So I do like a broken Bronco. So I do a 20, 40, 60 minute rest sort of thing. And then working on my technique with Rory Salmon's absolutely amazing, by the way. He's a massive inspiration to me as well, because he's literally one of the fittest rugby players in Norway. And he's a really inspirational guy. He's really knowledgeable when it comes to technique and what to do. So having him around as well has been great. Like, he's on the end of the phone, do you fancy going out? He's the kind of guy that will go on a Sunday afternoon when it's pissing it down in rain and go and do sprint training with you and analyze. Like, yeah, you want to get your head, you know, do the cycle thing. So it's helped with the technique. But Tora got in touch with me, so I passed that information to him, and I like saw Tora at the weekend, and Tora's looking really, 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 really good now. He's lost a bit of weight, but he's looking strong as well, and he's really happy about that. So I would, yeah, I'm not, like I say, I don't want to claim that I'm the guru, and I've still got a long way to go. I've still got some targets, I want to reach. But what I'm saying is, if you'd have asked me sort of like just before Christmas, I was probably even considering giving up rugby, because I was just thinking, you know, it's just too much. It's too much hard work to get into the shape that I need to be. And I was despondent. And because my mentality, we don't like talking about mentality with you, Tom, but my mental health had deteriorated so much, because in my mind, I'd looked in the mirror and thought, you're 38, you look like shit. You shouldn't even be on a rugby pitch. No one's going to respect you as a teammate. No one's going to respect you as a captain. And you know what? You've got a choice here. And the easy choice was, and because I was in such bad mental state, the easy choice was to quit. And then I saw, like I said, I saw Johnny Woodfoot, what he'd been doing. And I was thinking, you know what? I wasn't as bad as he was. And Johnny won't mind me saying that. So I wasn't in a bad state as he was. And the difference he's made in such a short space of time, what is he doing? What can I do to get somewhere like that? And then he was literally on the phone with me all the time, sending me photos, asking me, what have you been eating? What did you have for breakfast? Have you eaten this yet? And it was absolutely fantastic. And I've had a lot of support from, you know, the national team coaches as well, about like what training programs to work on and what they want me to work on so that I could fit into the game plan better and stuff like that. So I think it is like, if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, you look in the mirror and you were like me, honestly, just reach out to people. You can reach out to me if you don't know me, get in touch with the Waist Eye. But just talk to people around you. Someone like, again, Rory, I was always nervous about talking to him about it, because he's so much fitter than me. He still is, but he was at the time, he was like at the other end of the spectrum. But just reaching out, people like to help people, and if they're good at something, they like, a bit like when I do the carpentry, you ask a carpenter, how do you do that? They really want to give you that knowledge. And then, getting a gym buddy as well. Michael's been great as well, just to push me and make sure I don't stay on the sofa and eat shit.
I would just like to add that I think that's fantastic. And that Ben Whitehouse, who sometimes is on the pod, he's also brilliant when it comes to fitness stuff, like especially strength. So if you wanted, if you're interested in strength at all, like Ben would love a message because he can. He tried to teach me strength once, and it revealed that I was really, really fucking weak. But yeah. But yeah, like Ben has a lot of knowledge when it comes to strength, and I don't want to speak for Rory, but I'm pretty sure he'd be open to a message or two from anyone who's listening.
Yeah,
if they wanted like a quick workout regime, or like you could put them in contact with Rory or whatever.
And that's a great thing about being part of a rugby team as well. Like everyone's willing to help each other and share. And you know, that's when, and it's like, not to get too deep, but it's completely changed my life around, because now I'm a lot happier when I'm at home as well. The missus, you know, it's been good with the missus as well, to be honest with you. I won't go into too much detail, but you know, I can run longer. that's always a bonus. So yeah, kid two might be in the way soon, but like I say, I mean, the whole point of my message was like, if I can get myself into relatively good shape in sort of like, you know, 8 to 12 weeks, then anybody can really. So any of you guys there thinking it's too late to start pre-season, it's not. 4 weeks makes a massive difference, and it isn't that hard, especially when you surround yourself with decent people.
To be honest with you, Adam, I didn't get that message from you that if you can do it, anyone can do it, because I sort of expected that you'd be able to do it. What I got out of it was that you could ask like really good people to help you out. So you asked Rory, you asked Johnny, and I think that's the thing that, like, because I know that if I wanted to get stronger, I'd ask Ben.
Yeah.
Because he's brilliant at it. So like, you probably know someone. But I think that's your point, isn't it? You probably know someone who's willing to help you out. You just need to ask them.
Yeah.
And if you don't know anyone, then you've got three names now. You've got Johnny. Four names. You've got Johnny, you've got Rory, you've got Ben, and you've got Adam.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But Don't ask me. I fucking hate everything to do with fitness.
but Ed, you've been on a similar journey, haven't you? You've been getting yourself back.
Yeah, a little bit. Like I've kind of similar to you, to be honest. Like around Christmas time, I just, you know, I wasn't happy with how I was looking physically and stuff like that. And you know, I'll be honest, whether or not I play rugby again, I don't know. I hope maybe next year, but like I think the injury I took against Sagana almost 2 years ago now, it just knocks everything out of me, basically, like in terms of confidence and motivation, because I've already done that injury once. I came back, like first time I did it, it wasn't anywhere near as bad. And you know, it's my own fault, but I probably neglected my knee over the past 2 years, so I just became lazy and whatever. But then around Christmas, yeah, similar to you, I just, you know, I wasn't happy with how I was looking and so on. So I started going to the gym just before Christmas, in fact, just so I could say it wasn't a new year, new me type of a resolution. I tried to sneak in a couple of sessions beforehand. But yeah, I've been going pretty actively. I'm seeing a physio once a month, and he's kind of giving me a good routine. Most of it is just around kind of knee work and getting the strength back and the confidence back. But yeah, I go, you know, I'm trying to go 3-4 times a week. The past couple of weeks has been tough for many reasons. But yeah, I think, like, you know, like you, Adam, I was, you know, I have been, and to an extent I still am, in a very rough place mentally, I guess. You know, there's a lot of things I'm trying to work on in terms of fitness and other stuff and my personal life, like work and whatever. Hopefully no one's listening from my job. I don't think they listen to this shitty podcast, but yeah. So yeah, just trying to get back into it, really. I'm not really one of those
what injury did you do, if you don't mind asking?
Yeah, so I did my ACL, my MCL, and my meniscus all in one go.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah.
I've done an ACL, yeah. But not all of them. Yeah, fucking
I did all in one go, so really, really messed up my knee. And yeah, like, I'll be honest, I'm not really one of those who kind of goes around and counts calories and stuff like that. I've made a really conscious effort to be more aware of what I'm eating. So I've cut out as much as I can. I've cut out like chocolate and sweets and that kind of stuff. Like maybe obviously on on the weekend, I might dabble a little bit. But, you know, in the past for me, the biggest one would be like fizzy drinks and stuff like that. But I've totally cut that out. Just trying to eat a bit more balanced. But yeah, like haven't made massive changes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I know when we've spoken offline, I know you, you've been having a bit of a tough time with work and stuff like that. And obviously, I've seen sometimes work can get on top and you're a bit stressed. I won't go into too many details just in case someone is listening. But how have you found, like, since you started getting a little bit more healthy and moving a bit more, has it helped your stress levels, do you think?
That's a good question. Probably yes and no. I'm probably a bit more calmer with it, but I'm still feeling like a lot of stress. I think for me, it's a very good stress relief, right? Mm. And I go to the gym in the morning. So for me, my mentality, again, Tom's favorite word, mentality. My mentality is if I go to the gym first thing in the morning, like 6 a.m., then my day can't really get worse, right? Yeah. Because going to the gym that early, it's always hard. Like getting out of bed, getting out of that warm bed in the middle of January when it's freezing cold outside and getting your ass to the gym. I think it's, you know, it's the hardest bit of the day. So I think that helps to an extent. But
yeah, but you get,
you
know, that,
I'll
you
be honest,
that.
I wouldn't say, yeah.
But the thing is, when you do, like the Honey Badger used to say, win the morning, win the day. So like if you, that buzz you get that sort of self-righteous buzz. Like if you've done something in the morning, like, yeah. You've done your work, you know what I mean? Because I think that's great, because then you get that like sort of adrenaline rush and you set you up for the day, so you already feel
you
like
do. You do, and you know, it's like it gets to the point where I leave the gym at about, I don't know, 7:30 or whatever it is, 7:45, head to work, and you know, yeah, you do feel a lot better for it. It's just, yeah, it helps a lot. And I'm feeling all right. Like physically I'm feeling good. Like I can't remember exactly how much I've lost, but I would say it's in the ballpark since January, probably similar to you, to be honest. I probably lost maybe just shy of 10 kg. I think last time I weighed myself I was 94 or something. And my aim is to get to about, I want to get to about 85. If I can do that by my birthday in June, then I'll be quite happy. It's quite ambitious, but I think I can do it. So yeah, that's kind of like a little goal of mine, to try and get to anywhere from 85 to 90. I would say by my birthday, then I'll be quite happy. But it's been good. Say it hasn't fixed everything, but it's definitely one. It's a major contributing factor to some improvements that I'm going through right now, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's always a little bit different. It's always a little bit different coming from an injury, because obviously that wasn't your fault. You know what I mean? Whereas I had that sort of self guilt of letting myself go, and then having to get it back in. But also as well, like, because I have a bit of a chip on my shoulder where people say, "Oh, you're 38 and you've got to give up," and you know, there's not much time left. And I think, you know, that's also been a little bit of my motivation, is to try and prove people wrong and try and keep up with it, because every season the you know, these rugby blokes they get younger and they get fitter and stuff like that, so I kind of want to prove to them that there's still a bit of life in the old dog, you know what I mean?
For sure. And I think I know, sorry Tommy, I know you got your hand up, but I think one thing I'll really say as well is, you know, as you said, Adam, going hard for like 3 or 4 weeks at the start, genuinely for me the biggest driver is when you can see a little bit of difference, like physically, when you can actually see that tiny bit of difference, which happens for a lot of people around that, like maybe 3-4 week mark, I guess. Like happened to me after about 4 weeks, I couldn't tell a massive difference, but I could see a little bit. For me, that was like the main motivator, because once you can actually see something change in your body, or whatever, whether it's your arms getting bigger or your belly getting smaller, I think for me that was such a big driving factor, and that's something that's really motivated me when I've actually seen that difference.
Nice. Nah, good on you, pal. Keep going. Keep it pushing forward. Cheers.
Tom, so yeah, I know you're going to ask something or say something.
Basically, I have like a couple of things to say. So first thing, like, good on you both. Nice work. Like, stop being fat. How hard can it be? Stop eating.
legend.
Stop being ginger.
Yeah, no, but like honestly, like I'm just lucky I've got a body type that doesn't put on weight. I can sit in a pub, eat all day, drink all day, and I put on 1 kilo after about 3 months. So I'm just
you're that bastard that we all envy massively.
Yeah, but I can't get a six pack either. So I'm cursed. I'm like stuck at like 10% body fat no matter what. Like it's just always been the case.
But you know what, Tom? You can get a new hairline next week.
Yeah, I could have, but I've got to play football. So your problem is, lads, that you can control how you look. My face is just ugly.
You've never been ginger with freckles, Tom.
I've got ginger and grey hairs in my beard now, and it's destroying my self confidence. I won't lie. How can you not a ginger anywhere else, but just in my beard, and then it's grey as well in parts. But what was I going to say now? What was I going to say? What I was going to say was, I think it's interesting how the motivation like changes over time. So it's basically like all you need is a bit of motivation to kickstart yourselves, and then like the motivation after that just like flows because you like experience that it gets better.
Yeah, kind of thing. I think as well, it's behavioral patterns. I know this sounds like. I've just done so much research on it. Do you know what I mean? But like the behavioral patterns, like your routine, just getting into routine, so you don't have to, you don't actually have to then make any decisions. You know, the decisions you're making are there for you because you've got it all written down. Like I was logging food on MyFitnessPal, had my Fitbit tracking. Like you know, I learned about NEAT, which is you know, the extra calories you burn from doing like walking up the stairs instead of taking the elevator and stuff like that. My NEAT is massive because I work a very physical job. So that was helping with losing the weight pretty quickly and stuff like that. But, you know, I would advise like anyone just do a bit of research. You've got to track something so you know, but then once you've tracked, so like I tracked very strictly for the first 4 weeks, but then it got towards the end of the 4 week, and I'm just putting in the same stuff all the time because you get to know what you're putting in your mouth, and you think twice about, okay, what's this got in it? Is this actually going to give me any benefit towards my end goal? And you actually do your behavioral patterns. Then it just becomes second nature. So now I'm not tracking my calories anymore because I know that there's 248 calories in my whey protein shake in the morning, which I have to start with. That kickstarts my system. I know that when I have my cottage cheese and my blueberries, that I've got, my 24 grams of protein in that. And you know what I mean? So I know exactly that by the end of the day, as I'm gonna hit my 2 grams of protein for every kilogram of body weight. You know what I mean? So I'm building muscle because I don't want to be losing weight. Because it will take from the muscles first, because it's the most, it's the best form of energy for the body to take. So I've got to feed the muscles so I can keep the muscle there, but I want to get rid of the body fat. So this is all the kind of the science behind it. But it ultimately, from a layman's term, be strict for the first 4 to 6 weeks, and then it was Nick Saby at work said to me, he was like, yeah, keep going, because he studies sports science. So like I'm talking to him every day at work, and he's giving me some tips on like, you know, use this, do this. And like one of the biggest things I've used is creatine, which has been one of the most studied supplements you can use. And what was pleasing to know about that was like, because I was tracking my weight. So this is why don't go too much about the weight, because creatine, you can put 3 or 4 kilograms on just by using creatine, because it keeps watering your muscles. And I got ill last week. That's why I wasn't on the pod, but I wasn't on the pod. Didn't take the creatine, and I dropped down to 96 in 4 days because I wasn't taking my creatine, so all the water had gone out the blood, in, you know, out the muscles. But yeah, just getting into those. Sorry, Ed, you had your hand up for a while there, mate. What are you saying?
No, it's all good. I think you touched on a really good point, which is kind of this whole routine thing, right? And I think that's something which has also really helped me like, as I say, I'm not really counting calories and stuff like that, right? I'm just trying to be more conscious about what I'm eating and how much I'm eating. But something which I find really helpful is, you know, every Sunday I do a meal plan. Like my partner and I, we sit down, we kind of say, okay, for the week, this is what we're going to eat. Then on the Monday, we go and buy the food. And then you know that every day, you know exactly what you're going to eat. You can just come home. You don't need to worry about anything else. You just go and cook it. And then that's it. And I think that that's been a really big help for us. And then the second thing as well, like having that kind of gym partner or something like that, like we're not necessarily gym partners, my girlfriend and I, but we go to the same gym at the same time. She'll do the classes and I just go and work out or do my routine from my physio. And I think that is I wouldn't say it's like a massive motivator for me, but at the end of the day, it's both of us have to get out of bed. And I always find it's really small things like that, right? When one of you has to get out of bed and the other one doesn't, it's so much harder in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
And that again, harder.
That's another form of support, isn't it? Yeah. Another way I looked at it as well was like, because everyone was going in my head about like, oh, you're probably going to have to retire soon, all this stuff. We've got these three national team games coming up and I could see that there was a lot of guys' names on the list coming up and I thought, actually, he's really good. He's fit. I was thinking, he might be more skilled for me, but I can get myself in. I don't think he's more skilled than me, but he's definitely fitter than me. So I need to get myself into a position where I'm as fit as possible. So that when I, because the only thing he's got over me at the moment is because fitness will always, coaches will always pick a fitter player over a skillful player. I know you hate to hear that, Tom, but because purely because they can go the whole game. So I know I got the skills, but like if the fitness was letting me down, and what kind of motivated me on was like, obviously it costs a lot of money as well to do rugby. And I was thinking it's a bad business investment to go there and do these things and pay money to go away and train and do all this thing. If I'm not in the right shape, it's just, I'm just cheating myself. So I need to get myself in the best position because and it's not just the money that you give up. I've got a family, you know, it's getting up and going and spending another hour and a half out of the house by going to the gym. You know, driving to the gym, going to the gym, coming back, that's time away from my son. That's an investment which I've decided to do because I know the end product. When I get on that pitch against Denmark in 3 weeks, I want to come off that pitch trying to be the best, you know, get my shirt for the next game. And knowing that, do you know what? This hasn't been a waste. This weekend away from my family hasn't been a waste because my family can watch me on TV and be proud that I'm in a good shape and I've done the best I can and it's been worth it. Do you know what I mean? And that's another thing which has been very strong motivator for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I feel we're kind of getting towards the end of the hour. And for anyone still listening, if we haven't bored them to death about our mental health struggles...
I think it's an important issue though, because we all
know it is. It is, you know, exactly. It is totally a very important issue. But I did quickly just want to ask you about the Brighton camp. I know, as you just mentioned there are three quite big games coming up, and I'm sure what we'll do is before the Denmark game in a few weeks, we'll probably do a separate pod to kind of dive into that a little bit more. But I just want to see how the camp was. I know you were rooming with a one of our Blinden players who is new to Norway and new to Blinden, but he's already made the national team camp, Matthew Royce. Yeah. So I just wanted to see how that was.
Yeah, no, it was great. A very action-packed and very professional camp, actually. Owen Jones, who obviously from pod fame of the Wayside Rugby podcast fame, he's obviously based in Brighton. So he set up a camp, sorted us out with accommodation and food and everything when we were down there. So it was a very cheap camp. It was actually cheaper than going to Oslo. But we went to Brighton Blues, where we had a changing room for the whole weekend. We trained for 2 hours on the Saturday morning, and then we had a half an hour break, and then we went into a game where we played against a Brightford Blues select team for 40 minutes, had a half time, and then we played against the Brighton University team for the next 40 minutes, and we were trying a few combinations and stuff like that. And then after that, we trained for another hour and a bit after that as well. So there was a good bit of training there. And then we watched their first team play, and then we were all too tired to go on and drink and anything like that. So we just went back and had some fish and chips, which was great. I've really missed good fish and chips. I thought I deserved the fish and chips. I was completely out my diet. But I was just like, you know, I'm in England, I've got to do it. And then we trained again on the Saturday for 2 or 3 hours on the Sunday, sorry. But yeah, it was really good. There was quite a few new faces to the camp. A few guys that have come out UK based that have got grandparents or parents that are Norwegian, but they're based in the UK. Matthew Royce from Blinden went really well. Really nice guy as well. Good mates. Went to university with Eric Cavan, our captain. And yeah, he went really well. He was, you can tell he's come from a good pedigree, very hard, very solid, very consistent. So yeah, looking forward to see how he goes, in the future. But yeah, there was also another guy, a young guy who was there was two guys actually that stood out for me. There was a guy called Hunter. He's a young lad. He's still at school and he goes to Eton College. I think his mum is Norwegian, and he's still at Eton. He's a prop, and he set up two tries for us just with his hands in open play. Went really well. Yeah, really, really good. And I think he hasn't played much senior rugby, so he held himself really well in the scrum. And then there was another guy called Lachlan, which stood out for me as well, who's I think he's a 22-year-old. He was at the Kristiansand camp, and then he was in Brighton as well. And he's a big, strong second row back rower, probably about 6'2", 6'3", but hits like a train. And he scored this one try just outside their 22. And there was about three or four guys hanging on him, and he was just like a powerhouse, just went through. So some really exciting new players coming through, which is really good to see, and young players as well. So that bodes well for the future. I can't go into too much detail, but I've seen the squad that's going to Denmark, and I'd say it's probably one of the strongest squads that I've seen in a very long time for Norway. So it's going to be a really interesting game against Denmark in Copenhagen. The guys were training well. There was a couple of things we need to iron out, but it was a really decent camp. The setup there at Brighton was so professional. They had the proper clubhouse with a big, massive windows overlooking the first team pitch, Guinness flowing. It was their last game of the season, so they were all getting loose and stuff like that. And it was just like, yeah, it kind of made me feel glad that I don't play rugby in England anymore, because those lads are just absolutely loose. But yeah, we ducked out about 6 or 7 o'clock and left them to it. But yeah, it was a really thoroughly enjoyable weekend. It felt like a very professional setup, which was nice.
That's awesome, mate. Can't wait to see how it goes. Yeah, nice. Tom?
When is the Denmark game?
It's the 13th of April in Copenhagen.
13th of April.
Yeah, so about 3 weeks. So yeah, looking forward to that one. I think Richie was pretty happy. It's actually a first time in a while where we've actually had headaches with selection. You know, I know a couple of games last season, it was kind of availability was an issue. As the All Blacks always say, the availability is the best form of eligibility. But now we've got like quite a few guys putting their hands up and are available. So we've got these three games coming up now in the spring. So we got Denmark on the 13th of April, and then on the 3rd of May we have Andorra, and then the 11th of May we got Finland. But the last two games are in Norway, so we're targeting those for wins. So, and I think this group of players that we've got at the moment, Denmark's going to be a good game. And when I say that, I'm not just saying that as a euphemism that we're going to get beat. It's going to be a good game. I think it would go either way. But Andorra and Finland, they're expected wins, and we're more than overdue a win.
All right, give me a second, Adam. Where's this confidence come from? Where's this sudden, like... It's pretty, because like you've always been kind of a little bit, you know, what's the word, diplomatic when you discuss Norway, but suddenly you've come out and you've gone, boom, we're expecting to win. Like, where's the confidence come from? Like, I like it. I love it. I love a little bit of arrogance, me. So yeah, yeah. I like it a lot.
I would say it's arrogant. I think it's just high self in the conviction. Imagine you're still the coach of Blinden, and all of a sudden you get three players that are just as good as Johnson that turn up. Yeah. Johnson,
oh, yeah. Then I'm arrogant. Oh, my God. Could you imagine how arrogant I'd be then? Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. So, yes. What love it. Said, love it.
Yeah. So that's what we but the thing is, but also as well, the guys that have been, It has like a knock-on effect. It's like it's momentum.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, when you see those other players, it was one of the reasons, another one of my motivation. As soon as Rob Gannon showed me the backs coach for the national team, Rob Gannon showed me who's potentially available for Denmark. This was back in December. He showed me who's potentially available for Denmark. I looked at the names and I'm like, shit, they're good players. If I want a shirt, I've got to up it. And it's like a rising tide you know, hires or, you know, lifts all ships, doesn't it? You know, and that's the thing, is there's a really good culture in the team at the moment. Eric's doing a great job as captain, installing that culture. We're you know, tapping people on the arse. We're boosting people in when we're not around, getting together. What are you doing? Making each other accountable and stuff. So yeah, this group of players, we deserve a win, because, you know, these guys, yeah, the majority of them have been putting in a lot of work. So yeah,
I won't lie, Adam, I'd much rather have a teammate who's arrogant than underconfident.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that's, yeah, like, for
that,
me,
that,
like,
we can agree on, Tom. That we can agree on.
Give me some arrogance, give me some confidence, I'm happy. Like, give me a bad attitude, arrogance, and a knobhead, I'm happy. Give me underconfident, humble, and wears the correct t-shirt. Nah, you're not for me.
Nah, I think we've got to start being like that now. I think we've got to, like, get a chip on our shoulders, and, you know what, get out this rut, because obviously body language is a big thing we were talking about at the weekend. Body language. If you've got someone who's there, like, on the balls of their feet, itching to go, ready to tackle you, you know, you're gonna think twice about running at them, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? And again, that comes back to fitness. It comes back to your confidence and all these kind of things. Whereas if you're just kind of like going through the motions and you know, letting them come to you, and you're kind of like knackered, it's like you're on the back foot all the time, literally and metaphorically on the back foot. It's no good. So we've got to, Richie and Rob are trying to change that around. Right, be fucking arrogant. Be bastards on the pitch. Try and hit people. When you're getting up and you've tackled someone, lose them to get up, push them into the mud. You know, they're not going to like it, you know, and that's what we've got to get. And I think that's what we were kind of doing a bit of at the weekend, which was nice.
Honestly, I absolutely love that. And the reason I love it is because you're actually, like, when you have that level of confidence, when you're willing to say, we're going to go out and win and we're going to batter someone, it means you're setting yourself up for a fall, but you just don't care, because that's what you believe and that's what you want to do, and you're going to smash someone. And I absolutely love that. And I think rugby lacks so much of that, because, like, footballers, you do that every week in, week out. Like, all you do is say, the opposition are crap, they're rubbish, we're going to batter them, and then you lose 10-4. Maybe I've done that before.
Yeah.
The bunch of teenagers over here, they're rubbish, we're going to smash them, and then you lose 10-4. But in that moment before the game, you're completely ready to win 10-0. But, like, I miss it. I feel like rugby is, like, well too humble, well too, like, let's respect the opposition. No, don't. Like, they've done nothing to earn your respect yet. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I said, you know who you've got. We've got to go in there with a chip on our shoulders. Everyone's looking at our record and thinking, oh, this is going to be a walkover. Do you know what? If you want to get the win off us, you come and try and get it, mate. If you do get that win, you're going to go off with, and you're going to feel it the next day. And good luck to you. If you do win against this bunch of guys that are going out there, then you must have done something really special. You know what? Hats off to you. But that's the only humble I'm going to be, because we're going to go out there like fucking rabid dogs.
Absolutely love it. And I absolutely love the fact that Richie and, like, what is it, Robert, have, like, gone and, like, said that to you as well, and had thought that, like, got that in you. Like, because I remember talking, was I on the podcast with Richie? Can't remember. Don't think you I was. But I remember listening to it and thinking, he's really humble, really nice. Like, great guy, but he's not Mourinho. But now he sounds a bit like Mourinho. Like, he sounds like a bit of an arrogant knobhead.
Well, the thing is, it's like we'll go to Denmark. I want to
play for an arrogant knobhead.
Well, that's it. We go to Denmark. We've got nothing to lose. We've got nothing to lose. The whole pressure is on Denmark. We go there and we're going with a guys who are very capable. So that's why I'm confident, because I know if everyone does their job to the way that I know they can do it, then Denmark are in for they're in for a really hard day.
And it makes you feel like a bit of a lion, doesn't it, as well? It makes you feel like aggressive and nasty and like you're ready to go.
Tom, you get me. I could run on right now. I could. You get me right, Rob.
But it does. It works. It works. Like, for me, the best feeling is when I'm cold and I'm like, I just don't care. Like, someone, I just don't care. Like, when I play football, I'm just like, I just don't care. Like,
but again, just to bring this full circle, because we're about to, we're over the time. But, like, that confidence as well comes from knowing that you've put the hard work in and you've got that in the bank. That confidence is worth a million. And, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just to echo what I've been saying throughout the pod, is like, anyone there sitting on their seat thinking, I can't do rugby now because I'm so out of shape. Get out and just get it done. Just get out, get it done. Yeah. Speak to people. Get a mate. Take a mate. Go running. Do whatever it needs to be. Get down the way. Get down the gym. Get pumping the weights. And then even if you're eligible for Norway, get to a camp. Even if you don't think you're at the standard, mm-hmm. or even if you're not eligible, get to a camp. Come and train with us. You know, the more the merrier. Help the cause, because if we can get, you know, my first ever camp that I went to, there were 69 players to choose from, and the competition was good. So if you're involved in Norwegian rugby, get yourself to any, all the camps are open. So get yourself down there, come and see what we're doing, get involved with it, take it back to your clubs, and we can raise the whole standard.
I would just like to add to that as well. If you nail like that feeling that you probably get from fitness, Adam, if that's the feeling I get from nailing a pass, that's a bit risky, but I've pulled it off.
Yeah.
So the feeling you're getting from your confidence, from your like your fitness, that's what I get from skill.
Mm.
So that's probably why I'm motivated much more towards skill. It's like, yeah, I can run. Like, running's never been an issue for me. I can run. Like,
yeah.
But you know, like if I hit the right pass, oh,
it's just another factor, isn't it?
Yeah. But so fitness for me isn't important. It's the skill level that's important for me. So that's probably why all this mentality difference and stuff, because I feel like fitness is hugely linked to mentality, whereas skills linked to being a maverick.
Yeah.
Whereas I completely disagree with that. Completely. Like, skill is not maverick. It's just skill.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone out there who feels like me, nail a pass and then go to Norway camp.
But it'd be interesting that anyone who's listening, drop us a line and see what anything that's been working for you. Let's share some best practice. What have you been doing that's been working for you? And we pass it on. And let's do this together.
For sure. And I think that's a really good place to kind of wrap things up. I think we've covered a pretty large array of topics this evening, which is it's quite unlike us. And it's always nice to have a session where there's no guests. But just the three of us chatting. I think it's been a really good episode. Hopefully, if people are still listening after an hour and 6 minutes, then good on you. I think you deserve a beer for that. But yeah, guys, thanks a lot for your time. I'm sure we'll catch up and do an episode before the Denmark game to preview the game rather. And Tom, we'll see you in about a week, hopefully with a new haircut, and maybe you'll look a bit different now, with a week, you know, going a week without drinking. So
I'll be able to see straight.
No, awesome, guys. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you.
That was a good one. Cheers.